Parshas Kesitsa, when it talks about Shabbos, talks about Malacha on Shabbos, and it says Kedeshi Lachem, and the Gemara of Kamadaf Ayin Aleph, not where you would expect Halacha Shabbos to come in. Bavakama Ayin Aleph, over there the Gemara makes a drasha that Mahi Kodesh Af Maseha Kodesh. Shabbos is Kodesh, so the Maisa Shabbos is also Kodesh. And that's the Makar, it's on a Dereisa level, some say it's an Asmachta, but that's the Makar to the idea that Maisa Shabbos is Asar. I mean, the way it's cute, the way the Torah puts it is, the Torah says, the Torah tells us what happens if you cook on Shabbos, that, you know, if it's a shaggy, you chayav achatas, if it's amazing, you chayav skila, if there's no edim, you chayav kareis. That's the halach of the mevashel. What's the halach of the mispashel? The Torah says, okay, I know the halach of the one that did the cooking. What about the one that got cooked? In other words, the food, the din of the food. What's the din of the food? That's what it means. What's the din of the mispashel? What's the din of the food? So this Gemara in Bava Kama says that there's a makar in this pasuk in Parashas Kisisa, the mahi kodesh af maaseha kodesh, and then it brings down a machlekes tanoim, a three-way machlekes tanoim, about how far we take that. There's a Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yechon, and a Sandler. Each one is a little more machmen than the one before. It's a little bit of a complicated bright because there's a lot of details. Each one says a din of shegig and mezid. And Remeir is the most mako. He says that b'shegig, there's no consequences at all. B'mezid, you can't eat it till after Shabbos. The food becomes mutter after Shabbos. Rabbi Huda says that what you say about mezid, that's what I say for a shegig, that the food is mutter after Shabbos. But for mezid, it's more machmir. The one that cooked it is never allowed to eat it. But for others, it'll be mutter after Shabbos. And the Rabbi Yechon Sandler says that what you say that didn't for mezid, that's what I say for shegig, that it's mutter for him after Shabbos. I'm sorry, it's mutter for others after Shabbos, and for him, it's aser forever. But b'mezid, it's aser for everyone and forever. That's Rabbi Yechon Hassan L'Shita. So there's three opinions in the Tanaim about how strictly we take this halacha of Maisa Shabbos. And there's a fascinating discussion in the Paiskim about how we should paskin on this Shaila. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Tesvav tells a story. It says, Rav Oywik Rameir. Rav paskin like Rameir. Apparently, I guess that means that when people asked him privately, what's the halacha, he told them like Rameir. And again, Rameir was the most lenient opinion that b'shegig, everything is mutter, b'mez, you can have it after Shabbos. But v'darish b'pirka k'Rabbi Yehuda. When he spoke publicly, he said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, mishum amei ha'aretz. Because they're amei ha'aretz, and he felt that with these people, if you give them a finger, they'll want a whole hand. If you tell them any coolest in Hilchos Shabbos, they'll start saying, oh, I'm allowed to do this, I'm allowed to do that. With Amei Aretz, you have to stay away from such things. So he told them a stricter halacha than he really believed was true. So that's what the Gemara says. So what do we take out of that? So if you're... That's the Gemara. You learn the Gemara, it says these two things. Rav Oiri, Kremeir, Rav Darish Papirka, Krabi Huda. If you're one,
Rameir that it's mutter after Shabbos, amazing. It's only you have to have time to be right after you.
Good
time.
Question. You're adding the Kadesh Yasep. We'll come to that. So we'll come to that a little bit later. That's not, Rashi over there says like you, but not so partial that we follow that. Let's put that on hold. If Rav told one thing in private and something else in public, so Tosfos says on that Gemara that. Okay, I see that we pass on like Rameir. Allah is like we pass on like Rameir. Because Rav passed on like Rameir. It says, Rav, are you like Rameir? The Rif and the Rambam, they say, no, the Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. And Zuck the Ran, they saw it in the same Gemara. Because it says that when Rav spoke publicly, he passed like Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Ame Ha'aretz. And the Rif and the Rambam reasoned that that problem hasn't gone away. They say, Nefishi Gabon Ame Ha'aretz. There are plenty of Ame Ha'aretz by us too. So if Rav was afraid to paskin publicly k'Rameir because he felt that there are Ame Ha'aretz that aren't sufficiently careful with Hilchos Shabbos, so we also have Ame Ha'aretz that aren't sufficiently careful with Hilchos Shabbos, so it's appropriate for us then to follow what Rav did in public. And so they paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Rambam and the Rif, they pass in like Rabbi Yehuda for this reason, which is a little bit more machmir. Tosfos passing like Rav, I'm sorry, like Rameir, again based on the same Gemara. The Beis Yosef, bringing them down, he says, look, Tosfos has his position, but the Rif and the Rambam are against him. And the Rosh also, the Rosh brings down the Rif, and the Rosh then brings that the Ga'inim also sound like the Rif. So that puts the Rosh on the same side as the Riff and the Rambam. So the Beis Yosef says that makes it a slam dunk. And what he's referring to what he wrote in the Hakdamah to the Sefer Beis Yosef, that there's Shloisha Amudi HaHaira, there are three main pillars of Haira that are the main place given to Mishonim, and they are the Riff, the Rambam, and the Rosh. And the Beis Yosef said that in general, when I come to a Shailah Halacha, I look to those three, and if I could find two out of the three on the same side, I'm going to pass them that way. Over here, it's all three out of three on the same side. So even though there are some Rishonim that disagree, but you have to follow that trifecta of the Riff, the Rambam, and the Rosh. And so the Shulchan Aruch in the Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch and some Shin Yud Ches, he begins by saying that if somebody cooks on Shabbos and then adds parenthetically, or for that matter, any other malacha, they talk about cooking. That was the way it was expressed in the Gemara, but it's really true for all the malachas. But if somebody cooks on Shabbos, then if it's a shegeg, then it's mutter after Shabbos. And if it's a mezid, you can never have it, but you could give it to your neighbor. If somebody cooks a mezid and then afterwards he wants to follow the halacha, so if Shabbos he can give it to his neighbor, but he can never eat it. And b'shegeg, anyone can eat it, even himself, after Shabbos. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and that's how the Mechaber Paskins. The Gra argues.
It's interesting, even Rabbi Yehuda Shita to understand, because if there's inherently something wrong with something which was cooked on Shabbos,
yeah,
it's a Melecha Shabbos, why can the neighbor eat it?
So it sounds like it's not inherently wrong, it's more like
right.
A Knas.
Right.
Like it's a Knas. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's also that issue, Mishnah, later in the Shir, we're going to get into a little more detail. Is it what you're thinking of as a iser chefza, if it's inherently usser? So we're going to discuss that later on also.
Like the same kosher food that's cooked by a non-Jew, say,
right.
Situation, no one can have it. Right.
And yet over here, there's a difference right. Between himself and others. Right, and that would seem to be as a result of a knas. The Gra, you know, typically when you, on a page of Shulchan Aruch, the Bir HaGra comes in tiny bite-sized pieces. You know, a typical piece is four or five words long, and it's always hard to make heads or tails out of what he's saying. He just has like a vague reference to, we've talked about this before, Gra's are very, very concise. This is one of the rare places where the Gra fills up like a column and a half. And he argues with the Mechaber over here, and he says it's incorrect to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The Iker is that the Halach is like a mayor. Lach is like our mayor, which is much more lenient. B'shegig, there's no consequences at all. You're allowed to eat the food, no problem. B'mezid, you're allowed to have it on Matzah Shabbos, but even he himself is allowed to have it on Matzah Shabbos. Much more lenient. That's our mayor Shita. And the Gra says that the Iker is that Lach is like our mayor. Now, he goes through a lot of sugyas. You know, he discusses the Gemara in Erevin, that gives rules about what we do with Machlekes Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and how that ties into this discussion. He discusses some rules about Stam Mishnayis. You have Stam with it followed by a Machlekes or vice versa. But one very fascinating part of the discussion, well, two things I want to mention. One is that it's surprising that the Gro would be arguing on a Machaber that the Beis Yosef have called a slam dunk. This was the Riff, the Rambam, and the Rosh all on the same side. That seems to be very non-controversial. But the truth is that the Rosh is not really so simple. The Beis Yosef said they're all three on the same page. But in the Rosh, other people read the Rosh differently. The Rosh brings down the Riff, and it's true that he brings down that the Ga'inim also said like the Riff. And I think that was the line that made the Beis Yosef think that he means to be passing that way. But later on in the piece, he brings down that the Balei HaTosis, the Ri, argued and passing like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Bach says that since he brings that down less, it seems to me like the Rosh really is passing like Rabbi Yehuda. And then he brings other sources in the Rosh that to build the case that he really means to be passing like Rabbi Yehuda. So which way the Rosh went is an open question. And while for the Beis Yosef personally, it doesn't make such a big difference because he still has two out of three. Mm-hmm. But that's already far from a slam dunk. That's one of the things that actually got a lot of people upset with the Beis Yosef for. Because to consider the Riff and the Rambam two out of three versus when they go against the Rosh, that's really, what do you call that? They're a block. Because that's one Maseri. The Rambam's Maseri came very much from the Riff. So many people argue, like the Marshal, he says you should count them as one vote. they always go together. If they're on one side and the Rosh and the Baal HaKiyah is on the other side, that means that there's one Maseret that passed on Liker Yehuda, one Maseret that passed on Liker Meir. You should count that as a tie. The Rambam writes, it's interesting, the Rambam, what's that? There was election day discussion.
It's racist. It's Sephardim. Get one vote.
Today's Super Tuesday, so talk about voting blocks. The Rambam, he wrote in the Pirush Mishnayos, that which he wrote before he worked on his Mishnah Torah, he writes a little bit in the Hakdama to the Pirush Mishnayos about how Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi was such a great Pesek, and he got everything right. And the Rambam says that there's only a handful of places. I think he says that you could count on your fingers how many places I disagree with the Rif. Now, people have counted, and it turns out that you need more fingers and even more fingers than toes, but it's maybe two or three dozen. Out of all the thousands of halachs that the Rambam paskins, it's very rare for him to argue with the Rif. There are more than 10, but it's very rare. The Rif and the Rambam really almost always go together. So if it's a Rif and a Rambam against the Rosh and Tosfos, so that's really, it could go either way. The Beis Yosef will paskin like the Rif and the Rambam, but it's already not surprising that the Gra would paskin like the other side. But the part that's most interesting in this Gra is that Svara that we said before from the Ran, that the Rav had paskined for people that asked him privately if he thought that they were on a high madrigi, he paskined for them like a mayor, but he was Darish Pirka Kareb Yehuda Mishim Ame Haaretz. And the Ran said that that's what told the Rif and the Rambam that we should pass like Rabbi Yehuda because we're also Amir, we also have plenty of Amir Aretz. So the Gros said, that's not a question to just decide, like looking around and assessing, what it looks like to you. We have precedents for this. There's a Gemara in Shabbos Kufman Vav. There's a couple of very fascinating Gemaras that are Makairis to this question. In Shabbos Kufman Vav, it talks about the B'nai Baskar. There was a city in Bavel, or near Bavel, called B'nai Baskar, and they sent a series of shaylis to Levi. And one of their shaylis was, when somebody dies on Shabbos, are you allowed to bury him? Now, the standard halacha is, is said elsewhere, is that, and it's brought down in that Gemara also, that on Yontif Rishon, you only bury Al Yidei Akum, and on Yontif Sheni, afilu Al Yidei Yisrael. Now, this is a little bit unfamiliar to people in America, really, because discussion for another time. A very, very influential shuva from the Igros Moshe, where Moshe put a stop to that practice. He didn't disagree that that is the Ikar Adin, but he said for various reasons that we shouldn't practice that in America. I think in recent years. By the Hasidim, they don't follow that, and maybe there's a little bit of spilling over from there. The pendulum is maybe a little bit shifting the other way. But Al-Kapadim, the Ikar Adin, as it says in the Shulchan Aruch, is clear that Yantav Rishon, you make Levayas on Yantav, and then the Kvura could be done on Yadei Akum, on Yantav Rishon, and on Yadei Yisrael, on Yantav Sheni. But Levi told the B'nai Baskar that if a Mace, Rechman Al-San, on Yantav, you don't bury him, Loyal Yadei Yisrael, Veloyal Yadei Armoyim, which is completely against halacha. Even Yantif Sheni, even with Goyim, you're not allowed to make a kvura on Yantif. And why did he tell them that? Mishum she'inam b'nei Torah. Because the people of Baskar weren't well educated, they weren't b'nei Torah, and so he imposed this additional stringency on them. So Tosfos in Beit Zadavav brings down that there was a big debate in the times of the Rishonim in the 1100s. About how we implement that halacha. There's a city in France called Melun, and over there, and it's not far from where Rabbi Natan lived, and over there somebody died on Yom Tif, and if I'm not mistaken, it doesn't say in the Tosfos whether it was Yantif Rishon or Yantif Sheni, whether they wanted to do Al Yidei Yisrael or Al Yidei Chavim, but they wanted to do a Kvura on Yom Tif. Presumably, if it was Yantif Rishon, they were going to do Al Yidei Chavim. If it was Yantif Sheni, they were going to do Al Yidei Yisrael. In other words, they wanted to implement the Ikar Halacha. And it says, V'gar behem Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam yelled at them. And he said to them sarcastically, you think you're bigger B'nai Torah than the B'nai Baskar? I mean, the B'nai Baskar, the Gemara says, weren't B'nai Torah, so they're not allowed to use this leniency. And what makes you think that you're better than the B'nai Baskar? In other words, he was following this rationale that there's a Yiridas HaDeiris, and we nowadays are on our lower Madrega. So he told them that they can't bury this mace. But then Tosfos says, but the Ri, that was Rabbeinu Tam's nephew, he was the next Gadol Hador after Rabbeinu Tam died, he was the Gadol Hador. And the Ri said that he disagrees with his uncle. He disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. He says when the Gemara says that there's that because when the Gemara says a chumra that was imposed on people because they're not B'nai Torah, that's not meant to be taken as normative practice in future generations. It was because they were singling out a certain population. They weren't B'nai Torah. How do I know? Because there's another Gemara. There's two main Gemaras in Shas that go like this. There's a Gemara in Yevamis Memvav, where it talks about the people in the city. The city was called Gavla, I think. And over there, also, there was a series of three shailas, and one of them was that there were termusim that were cooked by the goyim, right? Bishalakum, termusim. Termusim is a type of plant that was often used as animal food, but sometimes, I guess, you know, if it was particularly fresh and well-made, so then people would eat it also, but it certainly was not an elegant food. Again, it was usually an animal food. And it said in that Gemara that, I think Rav Chiya bar Abba told them that if it's cooked by the goyim, they're not allowed to eat it. It's bishalakum. So the Gemara says that that's really not bishalakum by our standards, because if it's a very low-class food, it's eini oila al shulchan malachim. There's only bishalakum on food that's oila al shulchan malachim. But the Gemara says, einam b'nei teira. Same thing the Gemara in Shabbos says about the b'nei baskar. We have about the b'nei gavla also. They're einam b'nei teira. And so they can't eat this bishalakum, even on foods that aren't oila al shulchan malachim. The idea is because we can't stop making chalukim for them. We want to make more of a blanket esser. So the Ri said to Rabbeinu Tam, the Ri in that Taisus says, what's the halacha lemaisa on that? Ask anybody. We all know that we're noyeg, that something that's not oila al shulchan malachim is mutter. Even though the Gemara in Yavama says that for the einam b'nei teira, they asered it. But we're all noyeg heter. So that means that we don't put ourselves into the category of einam b'nei teira. So he said to Rabbeinu Tam, so let's apply the same rule to the Gemara in Shabbos about the b'nei baskar, where they were strict on the kvura, because they're einam b'nei teira, but okay, that's for the b'nei baskar. But we here in France, let's say we're neutral. We're not like the bad guys in the times of the Gemara. Don't say, oh, you read this at day race. So if there was some people that weren't on the Madriga then, so we're all not on that Madriga now. No, that was a particularly bad population. But now, in a regular population, we can follow the Ikar Halacha. So you could bury the mace on Yontif. So that was an argument between the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam. But the Ri gets the last word on Tosfos. And is accepted in all the Sifrei HaPaiskim, in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch, we all paskin that you're allowed to make a levayis on Yontif. Again, notwithstanding that in the 20th century, Rav Moshe Feinstein put a restriction on this, but the Ikar Halacha clearly is that you're allowed to make a levayis on Yontif. Yontif Rishon, the Goyim do the Kavura, Yontif Sheni, the Yidden are allowed to do the Kavura. So the Gra said that In considering all this, this chumra of the Rif and the Rambam really doesn't have a leg to stand on. The Rav paskin that the halacha is like a mayor, but he was darsh pirkei Rabbi Yehuda b'nei Amei Haaretz. So that's just like the b'nei baskar of the b'nei gamla. But don't say so. We all have to be machmer like Rabbi Yehuda because we also have Amei Haaretz. We're not machmer on bishalakum. We're not machmer on kvura b'yamtif. We're making on those things, so we can be making on this also. So because of all that, the Gra said that no, the halacha is like Rav Meir, and he says that he's arguing on that psak of the Shulchan Aruch, the Ikar is like Rav Meir.
So what does the Rush really say? It seems that
he brings down all the opinions. And he never says anywhere in the Siman v'chein ikar. He brings down the Rif. He says v'chein kasva ga'inim, and then he brings down Tosfos. So the Beis Yosef thought that from his indicating v'chein kasva ga'inim, like by the fact that he added an extra support to the Rif, it sounded like he meant to be passing like the Rif. And the Bach says no, that's not so convincing. And on the contrary, if he brings down Tosfos last, so it sounds like he means passing like Tosfos. But he's not really explicit in either direction. So that's why it was left sort of up for grabs. So the Mishnah Berurah says that b'makom atzeirich, you could be soimach on the Gra. It's a very important Mishnah Berurah that because according to the Gra, on a shogig there are no consequences. Right, it's mutter. 99% of the time, these shaylos are negated to a shogig. I mean, a ma'aseh Shabbos b'mezid, from you that Shemesh Shabbos doesn't cook b'meizid. If somebody who's cooking b'meizid is not then going and asking the Rav, am I allowed to eat it? It's communicated to other people, right? You know, other people in the household, Rachman al Islan. If you have somebody, one person in the household who's not Shemesh Shabbos and other people that are, you can have such shilas. But the much more common case is, you know, it's pretty common actually to have such shilas about Shoygigim, that something was cooked by accident on Shabbos. Let's give it an extreme case, meaning without getting involved if something's only Drabbanon. Let's say there's a real Bishul D'oraisa. Excuse me. We give a simple example. Somebody lost track of the time on Erev Shabbos,
yeah,
and didn't realize that we changed the clock already. And, you know, it's 5:30 in the afternoon, changed it right to the beginning of the winter. And it's 5:30 in the afternoon, and the person thought that last week, 5:30 in the afternoon, I cooked a chicken soup. So she goes and she cooks a chicken soup. And this Shabbos, it's already after they changed the clock, and it's already dark outside. And it's Shabbos. So she cooked chicken soup on Shabbos, but she didn't realize it was Shabbos. So what's the halacha? So according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's usher till after Shabbos. By Friday night, you can't eat that soup. According to the Gra, it's mutter, because we pass on like our mayor that b'shoigig nothing becomes usher. When the Shabur says b'makam hatzorich yesh lahakel, I think the way that that's usually applied is makam hatzorich. But again, it really, you know, really means that each case has to be judged, you know, independently, and you have to consult the Rav. But I think it's sort of as a general guideline, if it's a matter of all the Shabbos food, like if somebody put up the whole Shabbos at that time, and then if you say you can't eat it, so they won't have food to eat on Shabbos, that's called a makamat tzairech. But if it means they'll have to go from the fish to the chicken without a soup in between, you know, that's nishkefer. Right, nishkefer lach. That's not such a makamat tzairech.
That's mechazik the sword, that it's a knas, not the something which is inherently wrong.
Well, over here, it's because the reason why we're, you mean because we're differentiating if it's a makamat tzairech.
Right.
But that's really because it's a machalik, it's a machaber and the gra. So which way should you paskin? That's where the Mishnah was saying that makamat tzairech could be samech on the gra. It's very interesting. So, you know, where might have been a geya on a mezid? Again, like I said before, somebody who's going and cooking on Shabbos is not asking an hour later, am I allowed to eat it? You could have a case of a baal tshuva, but usually that's a process that takes some time, right? So if he was cooking on Shabbos, he's not asking later on Shabbos or that night. You know, it's going to be 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a practical nafkamina. Let's say somebody knitted a sweater on Shabbos. It wasn't from. He knitted a sweater on Shabbos, and he has that sweater. He likes that sweater, and a year later, he becomes frum. So now, according to a mayor, of course, you know, it's amazing, but it's mutter l'mitzvah Shabbos. So it's already 12 months later. It's, you know, more than enough time. So of course, it's going to be mutter. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, for himself, it's us forever. He can give his neighbor the sweater, but he's not allowed to wear that sweater. So, and the mechaber passes like Rabbi Yehuda. The grua passes like our mayor. So this case is going to be totally in that machlekes. The Mishbaru said, you could be seirich on the grua, but Pashas is not such a big seirich, but okay, if it was a particularly sentimental value kind of a sweater, again, you know, you have to, you know, judge each case separately, but this would be an example of where it's Negev Amazin.
A lot of women put chalent in 5 minutes before Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
Uncooked, they put it in.
Yeah, but as long as it's before they change the clock.
Right, 5 minutes before.
Yeah, no, but it's before Shabbos. It's before Shabbos.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It hasn't been cooked yet.
Right, so it's not necessarily so advisable because there are restrictions like that. Then it can't be moved at all. Most women like to be able to move the chalent on Shabbos. But if it wasn't cooked before Shabbos, then there's stricter. But that's not... We're not that's not
control, right?
Well, we're not covering that today.
Shabbos is the horizon.
I will maybe another time we'll have a share.
I couldn't believe it, but they put it in 2 minutes before.
You're not it's not advisable, that's for sure.
Right, yeah, no, there are points in the say that it's not allowed, and I think the Ikra Din is that it's mutter? Okay, well, for another time. So you mentioned before this idea of waiting after Shabbos. There's something called the Kadesha Yaseh.
Mm-hmm.
So Rashi, on this Gemara, this bright with the main Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yechon HaSandu is brought down in a lot of places in the Gemara. And at least in one of the places, I think in Chulin Daf Tezvav, we mentioned this in Bava Kama Daf Ayin, it's also brought down in Chulin and also in Ksubis and elsewhere. I think the Rashi's in Chulin and Daf Tezvav, where Rashi said that whenever they say Mitzvah Shabbos, it means B'kdei She'yaseh. So like if you cook the soup, and a soup, let's say, takes an hour of cooking time until it's, you know, until it's good. So if you cooked it on Shabbos, and now you have to wait until after Shabbos, let's say, contrary to Yehuda, so even B'shogeg, you have to wait till after Shabbos. So that means you have to wait till an hour after Shabbos. If Shabbos ends at 6:30, you can't eat the soup until 7:30. But most
B'shogeg... The time that it would have taken to make from the end of Shabbos?
Right. Right, after Shabbos ends, you have to, because we don't want you to benefit from the fact that you did it on Shabbos. So you have to wait after Shabbos for the amount of time that it would have taken to make it. But most Rishonim disagree with Rashi. This concept of Kedei She'yaseh, there is such a concept, they all agree to that. Rashi found it in a Gemara, but the Gemara says it about a case where a Goy did Malacha on Shabbos. If a Goy does Malacha on Shabbos for a Jew, so that Malacha is Aser, and then there's an issue of Kedei She'yaseh. Over here, we're talking about where a Jew does malacha himself. This is Rabbi Meir of Yehuda, right? Shogeg Meizid, that's talking about where a Jew does malacha. Shogeg, or Rahman al-Zam, Meizid, if he was a Rasha, but he did it himself. Then you don't have to wait a Kedei She'yaseh. Now, this is a little bit counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. If when a Jew does it, it's worse. So why are we more machmir on the case where the Goy does it than on the case where the Jew does it? But the Paiskim explained, the Shabur brings down that because it's worse, so it'll never happen. Chazal didn't have to make a deterrent. This idea of Kedei She'yaseh is a deterrent. We don't want you to benefit from it. So when it came to a Goy doing malacha, so you have a non-Jewish housekeeper, and a person very much would like to tell the housekeeper to do things for him on Shabbos, and we want to make sure that nobody's going to do that, so we say, if you're going to do it, you're not even going to be able, it's not going to help you, because you're going to have to wait after Shabbos Kedei She'yaseh. That a Jew will cook himself or tell another Jew to cook for him is not something that Chazal thought was likely to happen. The Jew himself is not likely to do it. To go tell another one, the person's not going to listen to you. So they didn't have to make deterrence to prevent you from doing that. So there's no Kedei She'yaseh. So the halacha is, and that's how the Mishabura Paskins, that there's no din of Kedei She'yaseh on a Jew's Maisa Shabbos. Kedei She'yaseh is only on a Goy's Maisa Shabbos. Now, one very interesting point. We're talking about Kedei She'yaseh. One very interesting chiddush, maybe debatable, but an interesting chiddush that I saw on the top of Kedei She'yaseh. Ordinarily, like in the example that I gave, you know, so if somebody cooked a soup on Shabbos, let's say takes an hour of cooking till the soup is good. So if Shabbos ends at 6:30, you can't eat the soup until 7:30. So Kedei She'yaseh typically does not make a world of a difference. It makes a little bit of a difference, you know, if we're talking about a pizza, so it's going to be a few minutes. If we're talking about a soup, it's going to be an hour. What could it be, right? If you made a chul, maybe it'll be 2 hours. But we're talking about a difference of a little bit of time. In the Dir Shem Mishnah Brura, he brings down Shem Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He said a massive chiddush. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that if somebody takes a... The idea is always Kedei She'yaseh means the amount of time that it'll take after Shabbos to do this malacha. Let's say if this malacha can never be done except on Shabbos. So, for example, let's say the Satmar Rebbe is making Kiddush, and a Goy comes in and he snaps a picture. He has a picture of the Satmar Rebbe making Kiddush. There's no such picture in the world. Such a picture on Gnazim is going to be $5 million, right? Zechus Shlomo Zalman. It's usur because a goy did malacha on Shabbos for Yidden, so it's usur b'kedei she'yaseh. So it's usur until such time as you could get a mutter picture of the Satmar Rebbe making Kiddush. But there's no such thing. You can never do that beheter. So that's going to be usur forever. The din of kedei she'yaseh, which usually is 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, over there is going to usur it forever. Because there's no time that you can make it beheter. So Kedei She'yaseh is going to ask for it forever. That's what Shlomo Zalman says. Now, this chiddush of Shlomo Zalman, I said this over, and this past Shabbat, I said this shir in shul. I said over this halacha, and somebody in the shir
took a picture of you.
Raised his hand.
You know, Gnazin has standards.
What's usher about the picture? Not allowed to look at it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Not allowed to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Allowed
to use
it, sell it,
whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. Well, you're asking a good question, actually. What is Is Mara, the Gemara says, Kol Mara V'Reichim Mehem Shem Me'ila. But I think according to most Paiskim, this is a Drabbanon.
The photographer wants to sell that picture.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
So somebody in the shir said, so for that matter,
nobody asked
me. For that matter, that would be better.
Thank you.
No, Enochanami, that would be better. That would be better. Somebody in the shir, so I said over this halach, I gave the example, the Satmar Rebbe, a picture of the Satmar Rebbe making Kiddush. Somebody raised his hand and said, what about a picture of a chasana? There's a chasana on Shabbos. So that's also, you know, an event that can't be replicated. You know, you have a picture of the chasana kala at their chasana, and the chasana was on Shabbos. I think somebody said, let's say a person hires a photographer for his kid's bar mitzvah, but, you know, for his aliyah to the Torah, right? It's a Shabbos event. It happened on Shabbos. So we discussed how maybe these could also, you know, could you replicate it, you know, with a make-believe? Certainly it's conceivable that this could be the same thing. Someone came over to me after a little bit later in the day, and he said, you know, my wife and I, we're very firm Shema Torah mitzvahs, but we weren't at the time that we got married. They're Balei Tshuva. And when they got married, their wedding was on a Saturday night. And the photography, you know, their session with the photographer was Saturday afternoon. So this is halacha l'maisa. According to this, Rav Shlomo Zalman, I mean, they only got married once, right? The event was, this was on a Saturday afternoon. So those pictures can't be taken another time. So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, he said, is my wedding album, Asar Bahana? I have a wedding album at home from 50 years ago.
The Mazer?
No, but it was a good. But it was a guy. It was a guy that was doing it for a yid.
He didn't. So there's know no shaking and mazing on that. Reason.
Yeah, there's no shaking and mazing. Right, yeah. On a guy. Right, a guy doesn't make a difference. Shaking versus mazing. When a guy does the malacha, there's no difference of shaking versus mazing. Yeah. He was definitely doing the malacha for the yid, you know, for his client, and they're Jewish.
I'm saying the client didn't know that it was us.
Right. But Anachanami. But
you don't think that
I don't think that makes.
I once heard somebody ask. Rabbi, I know for a fact it's Rabbi Billet in Young Israel Woodmere, and he became from, I don't want to quote it because I'm not sure exactly, but it was someone that became religious, and there was a tzad to be mater his dishes that he used for milchiks and fleishiks while he was irreligious. Something along those lines.
Because of the fact that
he was attending Shanish, but he didn't know any better. He didn't know halachas. He didn't know anything.
That's a ger.
I don't know if I'm quoting it correctly, but I heard something along those lines.
About Shum is not attending Shanish.
Because
how do you know? Maybe he was raised.
Sure is. Ger is.
No.
Absolutely.
Come on.
Sure, of course.
Something like that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Interesting. Yes. All I can say is that's interesting. I'm not sure what to make of that.
Okay.
Maybe the only concern over there is because of the gezeira be'inei ben yomai atu ben yomai. That must be the starting point. I mean, there's no real iser. It's only because of gezeira inei ben yomai atu ben yomai, and with that, maybe he felt that that's only if there was some kind of a. I said, sir, I don't know.
Back on the
anyway,
album?
So he had a shaila about this album. So I was talking to Rabbi Anderson Sachs yesterday, and so first he said that you know this whole chiddush of Shlomo Zalman Arbach was, he said you know he found surprising. It was a big chiddush that you could use the din of Kadesh Yas to make something us forever, but even assuming granted that we work with that chiddush, he said, Mistama, the, you know, if the wedding was Saturday night, so even though they took the pictures on Saturday afternoon, but they were still dressed for their wedding Saturday night, they could have taken the pictures Saturday night, so Mistama, that could still be a Kadesh Yasu. Nice.
That's true.
I hear. Let's skip that page.
I don't know. So if the house for an Issa Malacha, they can't live in that house again?
No, not if they use the house for an Issa Malacha. But a better question would be if they built the house. If they built the house for an Issa Malacha, yeah. Yeah, if you built the house for an Issa Malacha, then you can't live in that house until the Kadesh Yasu. And that's also an example of Kadesh Yasu that could be longer than an hour, right? If somebody built a house on Shabbos, then for the amount of time that it took, that he was, let's say he was building the house for 2 years, or nonstop, every day, and that included 100 Shabbosais, so you need another 100 days. You need to wait another 100 days before you're allowed to get on off from the house. Okay. I was one time on a Shabbaton with Tag. So I was one of a few men that was there, because Tag is a girl's school. There were some men there also. Shabbos morning, we were starting to daven, and some people were coming and taking coffee, and someone came along and said that I was in the dining room early this morning. We were in a camp, in one of the camps in the mountains that operates during the summer as a camp for children, and then some of the weekends in May and June rents out to different schools, and I saw that this morning there was a big hot water tank that was filled up before Shabbos, and a lot of people took hot drinks on Friday night. And early this morning, the guy came and refilled that water tank. And we spoke to the camp director. The camp director was obviously very upset and very apologetic, and he said he really shouldn't have done that. I don't remember the details. Let's say he was a new worker. He didn't know the protocol. But this water tank is huge, and it's always enough. We have, during the summer, we have 500 people here over Shabbos. We don't run out of water. It's a huge water tank. We have enough water for the whole Shabbos. You're not going to run out of water. But Lamaisa, let's say there's enough for 200 cups of coffee. And Friday night, we used up 75. So he refilled it to capacity. So now he put in 75 cups of cold water. Shabbos. That he cooked on Shabbos for the Jews. So this is food that's aser on Shabbos. So now, people were talking about it. You'd think, my initial reaction would be that now the tank is a mixture of mutter water and aser water. You still have 125 cups of mutter water, but there's 75 cups of aser water, and they mix together. Certainly not shishim, you don't have shishim keneged the iser, so it should be aser.
He also probably did it for himself, though, no?
I don't know.
Drink two-thirds of your coffee. You spill out the rest. He did it for himself, though, also.
You're a maker.
I had this in my house, and I asked the shadow ones.
That what? What was the answer?
And somebody told you, tell the guy to make himself a coffee.
If they took a cup, let's say he wanted a coffee also. Filled it up. Mm-hmm. He took it for himself, and he wanted a coffee.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what the caterers do. I think they do that.
On shop.
Okay. That's
a heter which doesn't make
sense. I've also heard that, but I haven't heard that it's okay.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm not saying that it's not.
I'm saying they actually did it for themselves. They put in a lot, but they actually wanted a coffee. That's what they did.
Lamaisa. Yeah, but there is a halach of ner lach and ner lameya. But over here we're assuming that even though he put in 75 cups and he only wanted one, but it was, you're saying, but since he did it in one maisa, that's, I would sooner hear if it was a matter of turning on the machine, you have to turn it on for one. It's the same turning it on for one or for 100. But if you're pouring in water, I'd be surprised that there should be such a heter. But let's put that aside. Let's assume that he was not taking it for himself, and that's, we're going to leave that out of the equation. So it seemed to me like it should be aser, because in halach we usually have an assumption that liquid mixes and makes a taruvis, and any cup of water that I take is going to be about half mutter and half aser, whatever the percentages are exactly. So you can't drink that water. So it turns out that's not at all so pashat. There's a halacha in Simin Reish Ayin Vav where it talks about almost the same case, except it wasn't about water that we're drinking, it was about oil that we're burning. Somebody's reading or he's eating his meal by the light of a lantern, and the lantern has enough oil in it that it's going to burn for another hour. And then a guy came along and he poured some more oil in, so now it'll burn for 2 hours. And now, as it's burning, we have a assumption that we work within halacha that liquids mix together. So each minute that's burning, it's the fuel is half from the mutter fuel and half from the aser fuel. Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to continue to use the lamp for an hour, and then after an hour you have to stop. Meaning, for the amount of time that you would have been able to without the guy's addition, it's mutter. But once you're relying on the guy's addition, then it becomes aser.
Is that the same case, though? Because the water that was in the urn now becomes colder, and there's bishel achar bishel. So it's not the same case.
Good point. You're arguing that maybe even the old water is getting cooked on Shabbos because of that. I hear. Yeah, that could be a complicating factor.
That's fuel, but the oil is fuel, which is uniform. It's the same.
Mm-hmm. Only the water.
What's the pshat in that halacha by the fuel? Over there it's a given. Over there the Shulchan Aruch paskens that's it's mutter for an hour. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to the halacha of Taruvis? So there's a verse from Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim, I don't know if he applies it to that case. Reb Chaim, it's brought down in the new Chidushei HaGrach. There's a letter that he wrote to Reb Isser Yehuda Malin. And he refers to this vart over there. Reb Chaim said a vart that the din of Maisa Shabbos, that we started off with this Gemara Bava Kama that says we learn from Kodesh Yilachem, the Ma Kodesh Asr, Af Maisa Shabbos Asr. So it's Asr. The way that it's brought down in the Rambam is Asr, I think the Lashon is Lehanois Ba'isa Malacha. So Reb Chaim said that what that Lashon in the Rambam sounds like is that it doesn't become a Cheftza Di Isura, that the food that's cooked on Shabbos is usher food. It's like it's nevela. The food is all mutter, but you can't benefit from the fact that the malacha was done. You can't do something which you'll say, oh boy, am I glad that malacha was done, because thanks to that malacha, now I'm able to do this. But as long as you're not nene ba'isa malacha, if you're not benefiting from the fact that the malacha was done, even if you're benefiting from the object that the malacha was done with, that's okay. It's because the iser is not chal on the chefza. Nothing becomes, no water or oil becomes aser, no fire becomes aser. It's just to be nene ba'isa malacha, to do something that you couldn't have done without the malacha. So the Mechaber says that if you had a lamp that was going to burn for an hour, beheter, but now thanks to the malacha, it's going to burn for 2 hours, so you can't use it for 2 hours. You could use it for 1 hour. And based on that, we'd say over here also that when I was arguing before that now you have mutter water and usser water and they're all mixing, so every cup of coffee is going to have some usser water, so it should all be usser. That's if you look at it as the chefza di surah. If this was nevela and trefa, then yeah, that's what would happen. But if it's all about being nana ba'isa malacha, so we could say that if the guy had not touched my hot water tank, I would have 125 cups of water. So as long as I'm within the 125 cups, I'm not nana ba'isa malacha. I would have been just as happy without his malacha. When I get to the 126th cup, then it'll taka become usser. Again, the camp director said, you don't have to worry about that. We never run out of water. So we were not. You're not going to go into what he added on Shabbos. So based on that, we would say that all the water should be mutter. So this chiddush of Reb Chaim, again, it sounds like, you know, like highfalutin lumdus, that it's not a din in the chefza, but it makes enough kamina for this mice that we had on the Shabbaton, that the water should be mutter because of this chiddush of Reb Chaim.
In the case of the oil, why doesn't the oil become mutter?
The oil
is in the light fixture.
When you're adding the oil to it on Shabbos, it should all become mutter now.
Okay, maybe it's mutter. So don't. I mean, so
if you're not touch it, mutter,
you
right?
No, you can't. No. You're allowed to use mutter. You're just not allowed. You're not allowed to touch. You're not allowed. I'm sorry. You're even not allowed to touch. You're not allowed to move mutter. You're not allowed to move mutter. So the problem is that this chiddush of Reb Chaim is actually very, very controversial, because there's the Mishmur Paskins that, here's another very important halacha when we're talking about Maaser Shabbos. If you have a pot that has Maaser, I mean, let's say somebody cooked on Shabbos b'mezid, and so now it's usher for him forever. So the Mishmur Paskins that Tuesday morning, you still, when you want to cook again in that pot, you cooked a soup on Shabbos, You threw out the soup. After Shabbos, you said, oh, you cooked it on Shabbos. We threw out the soup. Because that soup was usher forever. At least for him, it's usher forever. So he threw out the soup. And but the soup was cooking in the pot for an hour on Shabbos. So that pot absorbed from that soup, which is usher forever. So there's blias in the pot from a soup that's usher forever. So that's that pot is usher forever. And until you kasher it. Yeah, you could like you kasher it if it had any other machalas story. But the Maisa Shabbos has an Isser Blias. That's a chiddush of the Rashba, brought down in the Magen Avraham, and the Mishmur brings it down. According to Rav Chaim, there's no reason why there should be an Isser Blias. Because on Tuesday morning when I want to cook in that pot, I'm not benefiting in any way from the fact that I cooked a soup on it on Shabbos. Adrava, by Tuesday morning, the soup is nice and tam lofgam. It's only if you consider it an Isser Chefza, so there's blias here. There's, you know, there's some Chefza di Yisura, so you have to worry about that. But if it's just Lehonais Ba'isim Malacha, why would that make an Isser on the blias? So there's that kasha, a number of other kashas. Because of that, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he has a discussion about this in his Mincha Shlomo in Siman Hey. He doesn't quote Reb Chaim, but he said the same vart. Apparently, this I think Reb Moshe Feinstein also says this vart without quoting. Again, it's not, you know, we only have it from Reb Chaim in like very very recently published sources. It's not part of the, you know, the old Torah of Reb Chaim. But apparently, this was a svara that was going around in the Ulama Yeshivas for the last 100-150 years. So a lot of people have said this idea. Reb Shlomo Zalman talked about it. He, on the one hand, he said that, you know, that there's a basis to say this, that it's not an Isser Chefza, but then he brought this halacha of the Blias and also another couple of halachas that he said indicates that there is an Isser Chefza. And he said that he thinks that there's something more, a little more complicated going on. He brings, just briefly, the Gemara of a comment that we started with that learns from the word Kodesh, that Ma Kodesh Aser, Af Maisa Shabbos Aser. The next line in the Gemara is, you might think that the same way it's Aser Bachila, it's also Aser Bahana. Tamu Leimer Lachem, Shalachem Tehei, that no, you're allowed to use it. So it's only Aser Bachila, it's not Aser Bahana. So if I take that Gemara at face value, it sounds like Maisa Shabbos has an Aser Achila, but no Aser Hana. Only thing I'm not allowed to do with the Maisa Shabbos is I'm not allowed to eat it. So it says, you know, one of the classic cases of Maisa Shabbos we already mentioned earlier, if a guy turns on a light, lights a fire for the benefit of Jews, not for him, just for the Jews, the fire is Aser. I'm not eating the fire. What's Aser over there? Obviously, I'm not allowed to get Hana from the Malacha, from the fire. The Mishnah also talks about a case where the boat docks and then the goyim come and they put the ramp, they build a ramp from the boat to the dock. So now the Jews are not allowed to go off the boat because you're not allowed to be nana from the Maisa Shabbos. Again, they're not eating the ramp. So clearly there is an Isser Hana. So what does Gemara mean where it says only Aser Bachila, not Aser Hana? So Shlomo Zalman said that I think there's two dinim. There's one din of Maisa Shabbos that makes it Aser to use whatever it was that was made. And the gedder of that Isser is what we were calling Reb Chaim Shikol Torah. It's not an Isser Chefza. It's just Aser Lehanes Meis Malacha. The Gemara in Bava Kama, which learns from a pasuk kodesh hi lachem, that ma kodesh aser af ma'isa Shabbos aser, that's an additional iser, which is an iser chefza. And then when it says lachem, which means, but it's only aser b'achila, not aser b'hano, what that tells me is that this additional iser, which is chal on the chefza, is only for achila, but not for anything else. Which means that now, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Reisha Ein Vav with the lantern, which was the strongest makar that there's no Isser Chefza, because look, it didn't answer a taruvis. We said for the first hour it's mutra and the second hour it's aser, meaning we ignored the whole taruvis. So that was a right that there's no Isser Chefza. Yeah, that's because we're not eating it. But when you're talking about eating food, so then it's chal on the chefza. And based on that, Shlomo Zalman, and this shuva says that a case like what we had in camp, all the water in the hot water tank would become aser because it's a taruvis with a chefza di sura. Now, that's still not the end of the story. That's what Shlomo Zalman writes in a tshuva, the Mincha Shlomo. It's a published tshuva. And there's a sefer, a very, very chashuva sefer, so a contemporary sefer of two rabbanim in Yerushalayim. There's a Rabbi Rubin, I think he's a rabbi in Har Nof, and Rabbi Gelber is also a rabbi in Yerushalayim. I'm not sure exactly where. The two of them have a series, I think there's three or maybe now there's already four volumes, called Erchis Shabbos. And it's a sefer, a very contemporary Hilchis Shabbos sefer. Very well done. It's a highly recommended sefer, Erchis Shabbos. They have a siman on this topic. And what they write, the two of them were both Talmidim of Rav Shmuel Auerbach, Rav Shlomo Zalman's son. And they write that they talk about this case, you know, it's one, it's like many Svarim, you know, the top of the page is halachis, and then the bottom of the page is footnotes where they go through the discussions about how they came to their conclusions. And in many cases, the bottom of the page is 80% of the page. So they have such a halacha. They write exactly my case that if somebody came and added more water to a hot water tank on Shabbos, you're allowed to use up to the amount that was cooked before Shabbos, you're allowed to use, and you don't worry about the taruvis. Then on the bottom of the page, they say that they had, this was a discussion they had with the Nissim Karelis, he told them that it's mutter. And their Rebbe, Reb Shmuel Auerbach, also told them that it's mutter. They said, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a tshuva saying that it's usser. They asked their Rebbe about this tshuva, and Reb Shmuel said, I heard my father paskin that it's mutter. Now, I don't know what we make of that. You know, at the beginning of this year, we had a Rav, right? Rav, who paskin one way in private and something else in public. I don't know what to make of this. They themselves say they don't know what to make of it, that maybe he was chayzer, you know, maybe at one point he held it was mutter, and then he wrote this tshuva and he decided that it's usser, or maybe the other way around. Maybe he was chayzer from the tshuva. They don't know. Reb Shmuel was essentially, he was kind of like being dismissive of the tshuva. He said, I'm telling you, my father told people that it's mutter. That's what he said. They said that, you know, as far as the Iker Raya that Shlomo Zalman brought in his tshuva, the main kasha that really fueled his whole Shekel Torah was, how could the Gemara say that there's no Isser Hanoh if we have these Mishnayos that talk about a fire and a lamp? I mean, these things are not foods. They're, obviously, there's an Isser Hanoh. So they said that there's a simpler answer to that question, and that is that what the Gemara means when it says it's only Asr B'Achila and not B'Hanoh, it didn't mean Achila Dafka. Food is Asr B'Achila. What it meant was that everything is only Asr in its primary purpose. Food, it's B'Achila. If somebody sews a garment, it's going to be Asr to wear. When the Gemara says it's not Asr B'Hanoh, it meant other Hanoh. It's like selling it and getting money for it. It's not going to have an Isser Hanoh, like what they have, it deserves Asr B'Hanoh. You can't derive any benefit in any way, shape, or form. No, that we don't say. We just say that you can't use it for its primary use. Mm-hmm. And so based on that, they come at the bottom line in that piece is that, look, you know, Shmuel, where Tamid Shmuel? Shmuel told us that it's mutter. Mizan Karelis told us that it's mutter. I think they say that it says somewhere in writing that Ovel Yashav also said that it's mutter. So they pass on that it's mutter. But part of the material that they brought down is this Shekel Torah from Shlomo Zalman, who says that it's usser. Shlomo Zalman, you know, always carries a lot of weight in halacha. So, you know, I'm not really clear about what to do with this halacha lemaise. I can tell you that when, you know, I didn't know anything. Whatever I said today on this topic is stuff that I've learned since then. On the time of the Shabbaton, I didn't know anything. But there was somebody there who said that he saw this talked about in the Archa Shabbos, and over there it says that it's mutter. Mm-hmm. So that's what we relied on. Mm-hmm. That, and it's true, the Archa Shabbos does say that it's mutter. Lamaise, it also says that Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva that it's usser. Yeah. But Rav Shmuel said not to worry about that tshuva. So I don't know what to make of it, halacha lamaise. But the Archa Shabbos says that it's mutter, and that's what we relied on that occasion.
Wow.
So you...
Let's take Peninsula.